It's a miracle.
And Ivy, and you are listening to Black, Broke and Brilliant.
Coming up on today's episode, we'll be discussing blue therapy. So let's get straight into it.
So before we get straight into it, how are you doing, Sammy?
I am well. I'm good, thank you. I'm glad that there's finally a bit of sun out. Like, I was crying and begging for it. I was like, we're going into June and there hasn't been a heat wave. There's been no sun. It's been cloud and rain. So even just seeing the sun and feeling, getting some of that vitamin D on my skin, I'm happy.
Yeah, like this summer is going to need to extend into September because we need to make up for lost time. But it's just actually mad how closely linked my mood is to the weather. Like, I have been miserable these last few months. The second the sun comes out, I'm just in the best mood.
Honestly, like, how can you wake up and it's grey? It's grey and cloudy and you're supposed to have a good day. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Mm. But you wake up, the sun is shining, you feel like you're in a good mood. You're like, oh, I can finally wear my summer clothes. I can finally dress cute. Yeah. But yeah, nice that the sun's been out. Just been working, really. How about yourself? How are you?
I hear that. I've been all right. Just been getting on with it, really. It's just been so nice to just see people. Like, just seeing people and having the weather be decent has just... I'm just genuinely in the best mood the whole time. Having a great time.
Yeah, I saw, like, a group of my uni friends on Friday and it was just such an overwhelming experience. Like, I walked into the garden and I just saw, and I literally froze. I was just like, I cannot believe what I'm seeing. And then when I was doing the maths and I was like, I haven't seen you in 2 years, I haven't seen you in 3 years, Sam, I saw you was 2018. And it's just like, rah. Yeah. Has it actually been that long? And it was, yeah, it was just so overwhelming, but like, obviously just so nice to see people again, like you said.
Yeah, I hear that. You know when you see those videos of like long distance couples reuniting at the airport, it's the same energy when I see my friends that I haven't mm-hmm. seen since pre-lockdown. It's just the best vibe.
100%. It's the same. And you're just like, what have you been doing? You try and like catch up and you're just like, same, like lockdown. I've been sat in my house for the last year. How about you? What's new with you? Same, nothing.
Made some banana bread, ran a 5k, that's about it. Yep.
Did a few challenges, went on TikTok, started as TikTok.
No, it's so good though. Yeah, I'm very excited for summer to actually start now. I'm ready. Mm-hmm. Do you know what though? Let's get back into the episode because there is so much to unpack with this show. I think there are currently 5 episodes out and it's just wild. Like, I'm struggling to believe that this show isn't scripted because some of the things that are coming out of these people's mouths are insane. They are absolutely insane, but I'm here for the drama.
Honestly, and if you haven't seen Blue Therapy, basically it's a show on YouTube and it's essentially like two black couples and they go to therapy and have couples therapy and it's filmed. And yeah, there's one therapist and it's just them unpacking their issues. As Ivy said, it seems quite scripted because you're just like, everything they're saying and the issues they're going through is too mad. And plus the fact that there is a camera there and you feel like some things have been planned and the repetition of certain phrases, but whether it's scripted or not, it's a madness. And I've watched that and I even watched the first episode and I was like, is this what couples therapy is like? Because this is jarring.
No, this show is not an advertisement for couples therapy because they just go nowhere fast. It's almost like the couples don't want to resolve any of their issues. They don't listen to each other. They just try and retaliate. I'm like, are you actually trying to sort your problems out? Or are you just here for a screaming match? I don't get it.
Honestly, and it's like when they say, no, do you know what? I love him and the reason I'm here is because... But then I hear their issues and I'm like, this doesn't sound like love. If anything, you like have more problems than you do like solutions. It seems like there is more wrong with your relationship than there is anything right. So I don't even think therapy will help at this point. You just need to break up.
Literally, I'm like, why are you still together? Like, these issues are, they're all deal breakers. Just end it. Like, you're not, no one is holding a gun to your head saying you have to stay in this relationship. Why are you forcing it? Just call it a day and find someone else.
Right. And you'd think maybe it's just like one issue we need to unpack. Maybe we need to communicate about the reasons behind this and then we can move on. But when you think, oh, that's the big issue they have, and they're like, and another thing, another problem I have is this. And I'm just like, you have more problems than anything else. Like, yeah, it just doesn't seem productive.
genuinely, do you know what? Let's start with Paul and Chuma, because I can't with this couple. The sad thing as well is, like, it's very apparent in the first few episodes that all Chuma wants is some affection and respect from Paul, and he is acting like she's asking for the whole world.
Honestly, like Chuma said, I feel neglected, I don't feel loved. And Paul's response was, so you don't trust me. And I was like, one, like, that isn't a valid response to what she's saying. She said, I feel neglected and I feel loved. And he went, So what you're saying is you don't trust me. How did you put one and two together and got like six? I was like, that wasn't, what has that got to do with trust? And even that, like, she would say how she was feeling, and he would just bring it back on himself and just like completely ignore the main point would go way over his head, and he'd come and say something else.
Yeah, he'd like ignore all the words she said and just listen to the final word and respond to that. I'm like, Paul, this is childish behavior. I'm not even being funny though. I don't think Paul and Chuma are in a relationship. I don't even think that counts as an entanglement. They are roommates at best. Like, Chuma said, Paul doesn't give her any love or affection. He doesn't pay her compliments. He doesn't look at her. He doesn't touch her. They're roommates. Tell me I'm wrong.
Yeah, fully. Because she even said that, like, when they weren't living together, he was doing all this. He was being loving. He was cooking. Doing all... The moment they move in together, none. Nothing. Nada. That... So it's now that I'm living with you, you now don't want to show any love. It's a roommate thing. He thought he was getting a cleaner. Because essentially, that's what it seems like now.
And in response, Paul had the audacity to say, I live with you. Is that not enough? No, you are flatmates. You are glorified flatmates. I'm sorry.
She literally said, she was like, there's no affection. Like, he doesn't even touch me. And she said, sometimes I can just look at you and that's enough for me. I'm like, you're mocking it. You're actually mocking it. That's disrespectful.
But it also baffles me because I'm like, okay, Paul doesn't clearly want to compliment her. He doesn't want to spend time with her. He doesn't want to touch her, look at her. Why would he want to be in that relationship then? Like, if he's not feeling any type of way when he's around his girlfriend, what's the point?
I think from the very first episode, I had issues with Paul. I was like, this man is toxic. She needs to leave this man. Because so they have like introductions, and Chuma, yeah, I guess she's on like Instagram. She was on BK chat or back chat. And Paul, I don't know, the way he was talking about his job, like, who do you think you are? He was like, well, you know, I work with very affluent clients, people with, you know, high net worths. And, you know, the thing is with my clients, like, I have to wine them, dine them, take them to certain places. He was just very, come with big ego energy. And it's like he didn't even want to be there, because anything they were saying to him, he was just like, oh, I'm too good for this.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so true. And it's like, he can wine and dine his clients, but he can't wine and dine his girlfriend. So it's like, he has the potential to be that guy, he just doesn't want to be.
Not only did he have the potential, according to her, he was that guy before. And he was like, so you liked when I was doing this, this and this, but now you don't. She's like, because you're not doing it for her anymore. Like, you're whining and dining your clients. You're taking your clients out to the club, having, you know, girls who are your type dancing with you in a club, and he's saying, oh, it's for my clients, you know, this is just a lifestyle, I need to show that I'm the same. And she's like, okay. He saw a video on her friend's Insta of her dancing at a club. She was out with her girls. He had an issue with it, but you are in the club buying big bottles of Grey Goose for other women, but your girl, she can't dance with her friends. Okay,
the double standards aren't even funny. And the thing is, like, how is she even doing anything wrong? She's just out on a night out with her friends, dancing. What is she meant to do? Sit down the whole time? Do a 1-2 step? Yet he can justify having girls dance around him. It's ridiculous. And the sad thing is, like, all of their issues genuinely are centered around Paul. Yet he won't even listen. I can't. He has bad vibes. And the thing is, like, she's actually trying to resolve their issues. I feel so bad for her, but I need her to just wake up and go, this ain't it. I deserve better.
Like, I don't know how she... She said they've been together for 3 years, if that's even true. If it's true, okay, let's say it's true. She's been together for 3 years. So she wakes up next to this man and still like, yeah, I love you, and there's still all of this. But he literally expects her to be a housewife. He expects her to cook and clean and do absolutely nothing. And he's like, you should just accept this is what I'm doing, not eat together, not do anything. But also, his energy was bad from the start. his vibe was bad from the start. I don't even understand how she's with this man, because imagine, so this first time they're going to a therapist, yeah, you go to go talk out your issues, you know, you cooperate, you answer the questions, you listen, you respond. Paul tried to flip and reverse the question. So Denise is the therapist, and every time she would ask him something, he'd be like, so let me ask you, Denise, what do you think about that? Why aren't you asking? And at one point he went, listen, Denise, it is Denise, isn't it? We're not going to do that. And when he said it is Denise, I was like, you are being disrespectful. You are being rude, because you know her name is Denise. You know her name is Denise. You've already been in that room for 20 minutes. You know it's Denise. But he went, it is Denise, isn't it? And I think the question was, so I think Chioma said something, and then Denise went to Paul, like, how do you feel about that? Like, can you accept how she feels? And he went, we're not going to do that, Denise. He's like, you're not going to play me, Denise. The rudeness.
Paul owes Denise an apology. He is so unnecessarily rude to her. Like, he knew what he signed up for. He knew he'd go to therapy and have to answer questions. So why is he trying to play the Una reverse card and turn it back on Denise? You are not the therapist, Paul. You are there to answer questions and answer questions alone. It's just, you can tell he's just so uncomfortable, and that he's trying to come across like he's bigger than everyone and better than everyone, but he's just embarrassing himself, to be honest. And we've said this time and time again, there is nothing more fragile in this world than the male ego, and Paul is just making that crystal clear.
Honestly, like, simple questions. He was asking Denise more questions than he was willing to answer. She said, Paul, like, what do you do for your job? Like, what's your work? And he was just like, I don't really understand the relevance of it. Like, what has it got to do with anything? And she was like, well, you know, it will help provide a bit of context. I can maybe understand your scheduling, where you can find time. And he was like, oh, like I said, I work with a bunch of affluent clients. I don't feel like it's necessary. How are you telling therapists what's necessary? How are you telling therapists what's necessary? Any questions you had? Boom, deflecting.
It's also such a simple question as well. Like, that's just small talk 101. She knows what she's doing. She's obviously asking the questions for a reason. Paul is the enemy of progress. He doesn't even want to help himself, let alone his relationship.
Honestly, he was acting as if, like, everything she was asking them was intrusive. What do you do for your job? That seems a bit much. Like, why do you want to... I'm like, unless you're a criminal, because he was moving like he was a criminal. Yeah. Common question. What do you do for work? And you can't answer it. Okay. No,
whenever he speaks, my blood actually boils. And there are so many points where he's like, you know, I'm not going to tell a long story. And then he'll give a monologue. Not going to tell a long story, but he then speaks for 5 minutes without taking any breaths. Why is he like this?
I'll keep it short. Talks for 10 minutes. And the thing is, when she asked him that direct question, like, what is it you do for work? He didn't want to answer. But then at every other point, he was like, well, you know, for my job, I have to run and dine affluent. Well, you know, for my job, I work with high net worth people. You know, for my job. And it's like, when they ask you what your job is, you didn't want to answer. Now you're just mentioning affluent clients, high net worth, affluent clients. Who asked you? At that point, who asked you? They'll say, why are you neglecting your girlfriend? You know, I will work with affluent clients. I'm like, please, Ja, please leave.
And you can just tell that he thinks he's God's gift because he works with high net worth clients. No one cares. No one gives a fuck. No one cares about his clients.
He's one of those people who, like, says a lot, but he's not saying very much. Like, you can repeat high net worth clients, affluent clients, but I'm just, it just gets to the point where it starts to sound like a lie. Like, you know when people just dress up and just really embellish small things? Like, from the gist of it, I was like, okay, maybe he's a PT, because he started talking about how he provides, like, nutritional stuff for certain people. So I'm like, this man can just be small PT. But the way he's describing it, he's sounding as if he owns, like, hedge funds. He's a hedge fund manager, a big finance man, about, well, you know, me and my finances and this and that. And I'm just like, relax yourself, Mr. Embellishment.
The thing is, Paul is a professional waffler. He just
waffles
for days. Even when he was talking about his 2K suit, like, oh, I buy clothes that cost thousands of pounds. No one cares. How is that relevant to the situation? We need to talk about your relationship. Why are you talking about your 2K suit?
It was when she was like, when we started dating, like, we would go to places, we'd go to markets, we'd go to, like, black-owned places and eat African food, and we go to markets. And then he was like, yeah, we'll think about that. Well, since then, you know, because I work with high affluent clients and, you know, got a 2K suit, I don't really want to be going to Peckham Market in a 2K suit and eat with my hands. He's like, it's just not a good look, is it? And I was just like, who has gassed you? Who has gassed you? A, no one says you have to wear a 2K suit every single day. Like, that's you just wanting to say your suit is 2K. You know them ones? Like, you're just trying to beat yourself up here. Okay, cool, we get it. But are you wearing that every day? Do you wear a 2K suit on the weekends?
In it, and he genuinely thinks he's better than everyone. Like, not everyday ego. Sometimes just be humble. Like, he is just bad vibes. Chima needs to leave. I'm sorry, she needs to leave ASAP and close the door, lock it, bolt it shut.
She was like, he looks at me like it's a like I'm a business strategy, and then as it went on, I was like, he fully does. When Denise said, "Is there anything you do together? Like, any hobbies you do together?" and he was like, well, at the end of every month, we do a couples review. We go through our plans, our goals, our checklists, how we want to motivate each other. And I was like, is this a business strategy? The question was, what things do you enjoy doing together? And man said, checklists, plans, goals, checklists, business strategy, how we're going to grow. And I was like, rah, no wonder. No wonder.
He fully acts like he's her employer. Like, there's no intimacy. There's no, like, affection there. And the mad thing is that he's okay with that. He's like, well, we've got joint goals, we're focusing on our future and finances, da, 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 da. But where's the love? Like, is that not the most important thing?
Honestly, where is the love? Where is the love? I can't find it. Where is the love? I can't find it. I can't see it. It's non-existent. It's not there. 3 years. What? Are you dumb? Nah, get out.
And like, I just don't even feel like they're even remotely compatible though. Like, especially because I think Paul, he wants to be this breadwinner. He wants to be the provider. He doesn't want her to have Instagram. He doesn't really want her to work. He wants her to cook and clean. He wants her to be a housewife. And we're not in the 1950s and she doesn't want that. So how is this going to work?
Yeah, I was just going to say that, like, they don't seem compatible at all. Like, what do you do together? Nothing. What time do you spend together? None. He likes to eat, it was when she said he likes to make bland chicken and do his food planning, you know, like pre-cook everything and put it in the fridge. She was like, I don't do that. I'm going to eat seasoned chicken. He likes to eat bland food, unseasoned chicken. He could do that. But on the weekends, like, maybe we can have fufu and, like, cook jollof. But no, he doesn't want to eat that because apparently it's too oily for him. And I was like, you lot are bickering like kids. Like, either you're A, you're just not a real couple, or I don't know what's going on, but yeah, you two are not compatible in the slightest. And how she still loves this man, I didn't see it, because he definitely doesn't love her.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't feel a damn thing for her at all. That was so funny though. She basically said his food is like Molly Mae's, and I screamed. And that was another thing too, because he expects her to cook all of his food, and she's saying, I don't even mind doing that if I can cook traditional Nigerian dishes, because that's what she likes to cook. And he obviously meal preps and eats really healthy, and I'm just like, you're not helping yourself, Paul. Like, firstly, you can cook and clean too, you have two hands, so if you want to eat a certain type of way, cook it yourself. But if she's saying, I'm happy to cook for you, but I want to cook the dishes that I like cooking, accept it or cook yourself. Like, I feel like his expectations of her are just so high, and then he also offers nothing to her.
Absolutely nothing. Like she said, before they lived together, he was cooking for himself, he was cleaning for himself, but now that you're together, you expect someone else to do that. It's not making any sense. And yet, this big issue, I guess they're both Nigerian, and she was saying, like, of course I'm going to keep this food and I expect us to eat. She was like, I'm happy if you want to do, like, his meal preps during the week, but on the weekends, like, we should eat together. And that makes complete sense. Like, even as a family, as a couple, like, there's a lot you get from just, like, sitting down at a dinner table, like, eating together, talking about your day. But he's not even trying to do that. And he was like, it's too oily. It was when he said, Denise, do you know what palm oil is? Do you use palm oil? Why is that? Tell me why you don't use palm oil. Bam, does she even know what palm oil is?
As if Denise would cook with palm oil. Paul is just bad vibes.
Honestly, like, tell me what mac and cheese Denise is making with palm oil. Like, obviously, the dishes she's eating do not require it. But he's like, He was trying to, I don't know if he thought he was a psychologist, but he was like, so why is it you don't eat palm oil? It's because it's too oily, isn't it? Boom, that's why I don't eat. And it's just like, you're actually bad vibes. Everything about him is just off, throw him in the bin.
He was trying to do like a reverse psychology thing, but Denise, the only seasoning she would use is salt. So why would you ever think she would use palm oil to begin with?
Yeah, and she has a point. Like, obviously, that's the food. Obviously, yeah, everyone's free to eat whatever they want, but like, that's the food they've grown up eating. It's traditional. And like, she even said, even if it's just one day out of the seven days in this week, but nah, man doesn't even want her to cook it. So what do you want? What do you want from her?
Exactly.
What do you want from her?
And it's almost like he's trying to denounce a big part of his culture, and I hate that. It's like, literally, one meal one day a week, why can't you do that? It was when she said, my kids will be addicted to pounded yam, and I screamed. I was like, she is a queen.
Yeah, she was like, you can go and eat your dry chicken over there, but my kids will be addicted to pounded. I was like talk the things, because right now this man is not looking like he's gonna father any of your kids.
No, exactly. No. And also, like, they've been together for 3 years, which is like a decent amount of time, but it's not that long. Like, they shouldn't be at the point now where they're not having any affection, no love, all of these issues, and they're not even married with any kids yet. I'm like, this is just gonna get worse.
Yeah, it was when she was saying, like, when we get married, if we get married, when we have kids, and I'm like, you wanna marry this man? This
when?
Man, you wanna have kids with this man? Nah, you're mocking it. It can't be real. There's no way. His rudeness, you look at that and be like, yeah, I want that to be the father of my kids, or yeah, I see myself with that person for the rest of my life. I can't. It must be fake.
Yeah. It's just sad as well, because you can tell he cares way more about appearances and how they're coming across as a couple than he actually does about their relationship, which is so sad. I'm like, your priorities are just so off. Like, I get wanting to present a united front and come across as if things are fine, but if things are this broken, like, why is that not your focus? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, when he started talking about her Instagram and he was like, we should be presenting ourselves this way and that way, and she was like, but my Instagram is not your Instagram, it's not our Instagram. She was like, we're not partners in this sense. And that's why she kept saying, like, he looks at her as if, you know, they're business partners or something. She's like, my Instagram is my Instagram. He's like, yeah, but it's about how you're presenting. If you present yourself this way on Instagram, then it's going to reflect badly on us. And I was like, who do you think you are? Like, you're not David Beckham, and you're not Posh and Spice for you to be thinking like, oh yeah, there's a PR package, there's something here. Like, rah. Things really, I don't know what crack he's smoking, because everything that came out of his mouth, he was just bigging himself up and then like gassing himself up and then completely ignoring what the actual issue and the actual conversation was, and then finding one way to just bring it back to himself where it already was, but he deflects the actual issue. And then it's like, but this.
Yeah, like, I'm convinced he doesn't actually want to solve any of their problems. He's almost like he's trying to make them worse.
That's exactly what it seems like. Because she was literally just asking for a bit of love and affection. And this man, everything. He's like, but you could be doing this, but you could be doing that. It was when he was doing the maths, he was like, yeah, so if I go to work at this time and I come back at this time, let's say I might get stuck in traffic, it might take me, let's say, 2 hours to get home, and then I have to shower now, and doing this. He was like, do you really think I have time to now be cooking? And do you really think I have time to be cleaning? But if you get home at this time and you're home 3 hours early, why would you not cook? Why would you not clean? And I was just like, oh, he's actually delusional. And it was when... Do you know what got me? When she was like, we don't have sex anymore, we haven't had sex for 3 months, like, in months. And he went, well, if I'm working and then I'm playing football and I'm gymming and I come back and I'm tired, he was like, do you really expect me just say you don't want to have sex, just say you're not attracted to the woman. But he was going around in circles.
Do you see what I'm saying about professional waffler? He just says nothing but takes so long to say it. Like, if you aren't attracted to her, just say it. But he just goes on these long spiels and comes out with nothing. Oh, I can't. And it was annoying because she was like, oh, I try and like spice things up a bit. I'll give him a massage. And he's like, if a massage has to end with a happy ending, is it really a happy ending? I'm like, what's wrong with you? She's trying and you're literally mocking her. What is wrong with him?
She is saying, like, I'm doing all the foreplay, I'm doing roses, candles, all of that. And he's like, but you know, I just look at you and that's enough. She's telling you she's not fulfilled and you're saying, no, but I can just look at you and it's enough.
And it's like, okay, well, that's great for you. That's great that just looking into her eyes is enough for you. But she is saying it's not enough for her. So what are we going to do about that? It's like she's saying she's unsatisfied. And he's saying, I'm okay with that. He's happy with her being unsatisfied. Yeah. I think that's the issue. He doesn't respect her. He doesn't rate her. And he doesn't care enough about her to change his ways.
Precisely. She's saying, I'm living with you. Like, we're literally together. You don't touch. You don't even look in my direction. You don't cook. Or can you want me to be a housewife? I'm also unfulfilled. What are you doing? That's a housemate. That's a cleaner. Like, that is not a girlfriend. That is not a relationship, my friend.
But it was when she said, like, oh, in the early days, he would, like, pick her up. He'd carry her around and he was very affectionate. And then he was like, okay, but things have changed. And as the person who is picking you up, I can tell you that things have changed. And the annoying thing is, he wouldn't say the word weight. He wouldn't say gain. He wouldn't say fat. But it was very clear that that's what he was implying. And she was getting so angry because it was obvious that he was basically slating her for gaining weight, but he just wouldn't spit it out. And yeah, it's just peak. Like, essentially, he's just less attracted to her because she's gained weight. Imagine.
Precisely. It's what he said, but in, like, without saying it, it was all heavily, heavily implied. Like, he was saying, well, you know, back then when I was picking you up, like, things have changed then. And it was when he was saying, like, have you weighed yourself recently? And she was like, no, but I know my weight hasn't changed because my clothes still fit. And he was like, so when was the last time you weighed yourself? And he was like, are you certain your clothes still fit? Yeah, they all still fit. And those were the kind of things he was saying without actually saying, like, I think you're fat or I think you've put on weight. He was like, and don't you think that, you know, you can't feel any difference in your clothes, saying stuff like that. And she was like, in tears, being like, okay, so you don't want to have sex with me because, what, you think I'm overweight? And he was like, I didn't say you're overweight. Like, you said it. He was like, you said those words. I didn't say fat. You said fat. I didn't say overweight. And it's just like, you're actually just being a dickhead now. Like, yeah. That's just so completely and to him, he was just absolutely mocking it. Like, again, the whole time, not even taking her feelings into consideration. Like, this is a very big issue and obviously something that she was, like, already, like, self-conscious about. But for him to not only, like, say it and go round in circles, so basically say you're overweight, but then to just absolutely mock it while she sat there, like, crying in front of you, like, that's just no respect whatsoever.
Yeah. Like, the thing is, you had to read between the lines when he was talking, but it was very clear what he was saying. And, like, yeah, she was visibly upset and he would still continue. I'm like, what are you doing? And the sad thing about it is, like, Paul is the one that is punching in that relationship. Chioma is gorgeous. She's incredible. She's stunning. He is punching. But he acts like she's so much, like, she's beneath him. He genuinely acts like, yeah, he's God's gift and she is beneath him. It's just so sad.
Honestly, yeah, let your high net worth clients go and satisfy you then. Like, it's almost like he just wants her there to, like, stunt because he wants to control her Instagram. He's like, yeah, but why are you responding to people comment? And she's like, it's literally just comments. But, like, if I can't even get affection from you. And he's like, yeah, but why are you getting affection from these men on Instagram? And it's like, someone has commented on her picture, but somehow in his head, that's her trying to appease herself through Mandem. It's like, you have an issue with all of this, but what are you doing? What are you actually doing? You have an issue with everything else, but what are you doing? Nothing.
Yep. What I can't work out is, like, what does Paul actually want? Because he doesn't want to solve any of these issues. He's very happy just looking at her, not giving her any affection, not touching her. I'm like, how can you be happy in that situation? Like, how is that the goal for him?
Yeah.
Just because they're making money and they're financially stable, that doesn't mean that your relationship is successful.
That's not even a relationship. It just sounds like what he needs to do is just take a picture of her, put it on the wall, and that's it. He just wants to look at her, and that's it. He doesn't want to touch. Yeah. No relationship, no intimacy. He just wants to look. So take a picture, boom, put it on your wall. And it's the fact that she was even saying that, like, he met me on Instagram, but now this same platform where he met me, he now has an issue with me being that. And then for him to bring up the fact that she was on BK chat, because Chioma was like, oh, another issue I have is that, like, his sister doesn't like me. And again, like, that conversation just came out of nowhere. She was like, she just dumps her kid on me, blah, 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 blah. And I was just like, her language here is a bit mad. But it was when Paul was like, well, you know, you were known for being on this show where people act a bit ghetto. So if my sister sees you on that, then, you know, it's understandable why she would think you're like that. And it's like, being on the show is one thing, but also it's your girlfriend and it's your sister. So surely when you see her in person, you'll know she's like this or she's like this. But he was just happy to think, to let his sister think like she's girl, she's ratchet. Maybe that's what he thinks of her.
I think he has the same opinion. Like, that's the thing. He genuinely looks down on Chioma so much. And I think he agrees with his sister, which is why he's not correcting her, which is really deep. Like, and she kept saying, like, the sister looks down on her and makes all these really rude comments. And Paul doesn't say anything. And he's like, well, she's my sister. She's family. But it's like, it's about respect. Like, if Chioma was slating his sister, he would have something to say about it. So it should be the same both ways.
Yeah. He was kind of saying, without saying it, like, well, she has a point.
Yeah.
He was like, well, there's no smoke without fire. Like, if she thinks that, maybe it's because you're doing... He was basically giving that kind of energy the whole time. And honestly, horrible person, toxic man, disgusting man. She needs to get out of that.
There's just no respect, man. He doesn't care.
I can't even look at him and think, this is someone, like, I want to work with. I don't see it. Like, he just has a very horrible personality, personally, from what I've seen.
He does. It's just toxic masculinity, like, summed up, to be honest.
Precisely. Yeah. Should we move on to our second couple? Deborah and Jamil. Oh, I don't know who's worse.
Deb just bet. This couple is the definition of bad vibes. It's just ridiculous. Like, does Deborah think Jamil is made of money? Does she think he is an ATM bank? Does she think he is Santa Claus himself? Because I'm confused.
Precisely.
She said very early on that she expects expensive gifts 24/7, but he said he's trying to save for a house and build a future. So how is he meant to be buying her Prada bags, Gucci bags, left, right and center? Like, what does she actually expect?
If Paul was the epitome of toxic masculinity, Deborah is the epitome of toxic femininity. Mm-hmm. And do you know what I find mad is, like, both these couples say, I love my other half, or I love them. I definitely see us having a future. But then you hear the things, and Deborah was like, he knows the girl he got with. Like, I expect Gucci bags. I want Prada this. And as you said, man said, okay, I'm thinking about us and our future. And she was like, yeah, but you know, I want a Prada bucket hat. A house. He's talking about getting you a house. And you said, but I want a Prada bucket hat. Wow.
No, it was when he said that and she was like, you're just making excuses. How is that an excuse? How is buying a house an excuse?
That was her response to everything. Like, she was coming with energy for him. When he would return the same energy, oh, that's disrespectful. You're just making excuses. I can't believe you said that. No, we're not doing that. And I'm just like, but did you not just say that to him? And now he's saying it to you. Nah, we're not going to do that. How dare you? I'm just like, so this is just a one-way street where he just gives and you do what?
Exactly. What is she bringing to the table? I still do not know what she is offering him.
Like, normally when people ask that question, I'm like, that's very disrespectful, because, you know, in a relationship you get a lot. It's, I'm giving you my time, my energy. But at this point, when he actually said, like, okay, so what are you bringing to the table then? And I was like, he's got a point. He's got a point, because where do you expect him to get the money from? She was like, when we started dating, we'd go for dates. He'd wine and dine me. He'd get me gifts and presents. Now there's no presents. Now there's no gifts. Now we don't go out. And he's like, but when I'm working, you say I'm working too much and I'm spending too many time with my clients. But how do you expect the gifts? Like, where am I supposed to get the money to buy the gifts if you don't want me to work? And he's just like, it's just a bit too much. He never makes time for me. Pick one. What do you want? Do you want to be poor and have a man? Or do you want to have a man that that buys you gifts and is working? Like, which would you want?
This is the thing, because she started off by saying, we only see each other once a fortnight. And he's like, it's because I'm working. It's because I'm working hard so I can provide. And she's like, no, you need to make time. You need to make quality time so I can see you. And he's like, but you're expecting all of these gifts from me. So where is that money coming from? No, she is a headache. She is actually a headache in human form.
For real. That is so accurate. Like, does she just want him to pull a Prada bag out of thin air? And, you know, even when it started, I was more on her side, because I guess their initial issue is that, like, he's always late. He never communicates, because, okay, so apparently the whole, like, couples therapy was his idea, because he's been to therapy before. He thought it would work and he turned up late. So I was like, oh, I see her point. Like, at the start, in the first episode, her point was like, you're always late and you never communicate the fact you're going to be late. And his response was, why does she expect me to be bang on time? Like, I don't have a life. You're supposed to be bang on time. When you've made plans and, you know, you keep to your schedule, you're supposed to be bang on time. That's what making plans is. And then he went, nah, she's too controlling. And I just went, sir, I can't be on your side. And then I had everything else, like her going through his phone, spends too much time on Instagram, spends too much time on this. She was like, I should know your password. Like, why don't I know your password? And I said, yeah, this chick ain't it. She ain't it.
Yeah, the thing is, when Jamel said that about being late, that was very clearly a red flag. But I think I was just so focused on all the crap that was flying out of Deborah's mouth that I didn't even clock how bad that was. They're both just terrible. And the thing is, like, at first, I thought that Deborah was basically the devil incarnate. But as the episodes went on, I realized that Jamel was just as bad, if not worse, because he comes across like a nice guy. And then you realize he's actually dreadful. They both need to get in the bin.
Honestly, I'd say like first couple episodes, it does not make Deborah look good at all. It was just when Denise was asking her, so like, where is this whole expectation of gifts, blah, blah, blah. And he was saying like, I don't know where she's got ideas from, if she's watching like too much Love and Hip Hop, if it's just an age difference, because I think Deborah's like 23, 24 and he's 27. So of course he's thinking now like house, car, like future, whereas she's just on like spend, spend, spend. So the therapist was like, where is this idea that, you know, buying gifts and stuff is what a relationship should be in? And she was like, well, you know, my dad treated me like a princess. He bought me whatever I wanted. Like, he's got three girls. He treats me this. So that's my expectation of a man. But she's also never been in a relationship before. So I don't know what show she's been watching, but she thinks that this man is supposed to pull out Prada bags and Prada bucket hats and Gucci bags on a 24/7 basis. Yeah, you're not being serious. Like, you're not even being a serious candidate at that point.
It's all just very Freudian to me. Like, oh, so my dad spoiled me. My dad bought me this. My dad bought me that. Therefore, I'm trying to replace my dad and find someone who can do exactly
your dad?
That. In it, date your dad then. Like, what?
Is he your dad?
Like, are you looking for an actual father? Because no guy should have to cover you like that financially. And honestly, it was the fact that she was like, oh, but I want to go to fancy restaurants. I want to go to Hakkasan. Every normal girl would want to go. You can still go. Just pay for yourself.
No, go your friends. Go. You two have a 9-to-5 job. So you're earning P. It was like, yeah, I'm expecting my man to, you know, pay my rent, do this. Ah? Which man? Please, if you want a sugar daddy, just say you want a sugar daddy and go in it. You're trying to replace your dad. Go and find a sugar daddy. Go.
Exactly. But it's like, it's the fact that like she can't even hear herself. She's like, I want bags, I want belts, I want presents constantly, all day, every day. I want to be taken to the most expensive restaurants. He's not a millionaire.
He's not
Bill Gates. I'm sorry, he's just not. So,
and
yeah,
it was when he flipped it and he was like, okay, so what do you do for me? And she was like, that's so disrespectful, how dare you ask that. And I was just like, what?
So funny.
And he kept bringing up the fact that like she hadn't been in a relationship before, and she was like, that's very disrespectful to say, like, I've been in situationships, like I've dated people. And every time he brought it up, like she hasn't been in a relationship, maybe she doesn't really know about the whole like give and receive and how to just not expect things. And she was just like, you know, the girl you got with, that's very disrespectful, I can't believe you would bring that up. And it's like, you brought that up. You're the one who said that this was your first relationship. But when he mentioned it, I cannot believe you brought that up. Now you're just trying to embarrass me. No, we're not even going to go there. How dare you? And I'm just, it's all like a one-way street. Those first episodes, I was like, yeah, this girl is jarring.
Yeah. I genuinely can't work out why he is with her, because she is just a headache. And it's the fact that like, whenever he'd do anything or say anything, she'd be like, well, my friend's boyfriend doesn't do that. My friend's boyfriend buys her presents all the time. I'm like, well, go out with your friend's boyfriend then. Like,
go and date your friend's boyfriend.
Like, they're different people. They're not going to act in exactly the same way.
That's the thing. Like, make
comparisons, please.
He had said as well, like, it makes you feel uncomfortable, the fact that she keeps comparing me to her friend's boyfriend, and like, she will tell all our business to her friend, and like, I don't like it, which is fair and honest, and like, I completely get. And she was like, well, it's my girl, so of course I'm going to tell her this. And it's like, yeah, but her boyfriend does this and her boyfriend does that, and you should be doing this and you should be doing that. It's like, if he now went and said, my ex did this and my ex did that, she'd be mad. She'd be raging. But here she is telling the man, this man does this, this man does that, so you're not a real man because you don't do it. Toxic feminine right there.
Yeah, she is a toxic queen. I can't even deal with her. And it's also the phone stuff, being like, let me see your phone, let me go through your phone. That is not okay. Like, if you're at the point where you need to go through your man's phone, end it. If you don't trust him enough to just let him do his thing, end it. Why do you feel like you have the right to go through his phone? Like, that to me is so dodgy.
Yeah, she was like, you just seem shady. It was the fact that they kept saying, like, yeah, we love each other, been together for a year, we love each other, but I don't trust you, I think you're shady. Do you see how, like, those two things don't match up? Do you not see the issue? You're saying that you love him. She was like, yeah, I do, but I don't trust you, I think you're shady as hell. And it's just like, yeah, this ain't making sense. Because if there's trust, what do you have? If there's no trust, then what?
Then what? Literally, what do you have? Nah, it was when Denise was like, do you trust him? And she was like, no, absolutely not. Like, she didn't even hesitate. She didn't even start. She's like, no, of course not. Why would I trust him? He's shady.
Not like, a single counter. He went, yeah. She was like, no. And she kept using that word. She was just like, you're shady as hell. You're shady as hell. And I was like, okay, where's the evidence? And then she brought the evidence. And I said, well, how? By the time it got to, I think it was like episode 3, episode 4, everything flipped. And I said, you know what? He is shady.
I was like, do you know what? She made some points. I can't even disagree with her anymore. She made some points.
It was when she was doing like the trust exercise. And she was like, do you trust each other? And I was like, yeah, okay, so this is the exercise. Tell the other person, you know, something that they don't know about you. And you would expect it to be like, when I was younger, I used to play the trumpet. Or when I was younger, I did this before. No. He went, so I actually used to fancy your sister before I got with you. Ah!
What possessed him to volunteer that information? There was no need.
She's already said she doesn't trust you. She already said that she finds you shady. This was a trust exercise. And the first thing you want to say is that something they don't know about you, like a fun fact. I was expecting a fun fact. Man went and said, I fancied your sister before I got with you. Ah, cancel the relationship now.
Honestly, blocker, cancel. I can't control, alt, delete, run a mile, Deborah. Like that red flag was undeniable. That was insane. And he what did he think was going to come out of that?
I would love to know, like, what was the end point of that conversation?
Like, what was the thought process behind saying those words? Why?
Trust exercise. Man said, I fancied your sister before I got with you. The thing is, both of them were like, again, it was a trust exercise. Like, give us a fun fact. She went, and she was childish with it. I started an OnlyFans. I have an OnlyFans account. She was like, I don't plan on using it, but I have it. So you two are shady because you now want to flaunt that you have OnlyFans. And we know what people do on OnlyFans. When she was even describing it to Denise, she was like, you know, some people get naked and, you know, expose themselves and it's money and you can subscribe. And she's like, but I have one. I haven't done anything yet. But you can tell, okay, so your intentions is to obviously use it, or else why do you have an account?
Exactly.
And you obviously want to use it because, you know, we're now rubbing it in his face, knowing that he's going to feel some type of way. She's definitely giving me sugar baby vibes. But that was her own. She was very childish about it. And then he went, I used to fancy your sister before I got with you. Ah! You're both cancelled. You both don't want to be here.
It was when she was like, but I'm not going to use it. I'm not going to use my... Why did you make it then? Why did you make it? Why did you sign up? Why did you give them your email address if you have no plans on using it?
Yeah, you're getting subscription emails, newsletter emails. When are you going to... Yeah, people are following you in the meanwhile. Of course you're going to use it. Who are you lying to? Who are you kidding?
At least say it with your chest. Honestly. At least say it with conviction. Honestly. No, they're both just as bad as each other. Like, they actually deserve each other, to be quite honest with you.
And it was with the sister. She was like, so I'm second best. That's it. What can you say? What can you say?
I would have ended it there and then. Are you kidding? That's not something you can get over.
My sister... Nah, I don't know what possessed him to say those words. During a trust exercise. Yeah, my G, throw yourself in the bin. And then, what else? She was... When they brought up Afro Nation...
R.I.P. Afro Nation 2021.
R.I.P. Afro Nation. Wow.
At least they won't have to worry about that now.
Neither of them are going at this point.
Because, no, do you know what? I hated this conversation because Deborah was saying that she wanted to go to Afro Nation with her friends. And she was like, or he kept saying like, I let you go. I hated this kind of possessive, are you each other's parents? Do you need permission to go to Afro Nation? I did not enjoy that. But then he got really shady because he was like, I'm letting her go to Afro Nation. I'm not going to go to Afro Nation. Like, I'm not going to be there, but it's fine. She's going to go enjoy herself with her friends. And then she pulled up the receipts.
Oof.
He found a booking confirmation under Jamel's name for Afro Nation. So he was going to Afro Nation, but he told her he was not going to attend. What's that about, Jamel?
It was the fact that she pulled it up on the phone. She handed him the phone. She said, read that. What does it say? She said, read it. What does it say? Oh, thank you for your purchase to Afro Nation 2021. Jamel! I thought you said you wasn't going. And he just smiled like, damn, I've been caught. And then it was when he said, I was going to surprise you. Oh, shut up. Gee, you're caught. Right. Surprise who? Surprise who? She said, so you who didn't want me to go, I'm going. You didn't tell me you had booked tickets. But behind my back, you've gone and booked tickets so you can go with your man then and do our business.
Yep.
And he was like, oh, well, you know, it's a big place. It's not as if we're going to bump into each other. So then you were going because you had other intentions.
Exactly. He got caught in 4K. He got caught red-handed and he couldn't wriggle himself out of it.
Honestly, boy, that was just baby boy moves. You got caught. Like, you weren't even slick with it. You weren't even slick with it. Like, what did you expect to happen? Oh, post on flights. Was he just going to block her for the week on Instagram?
Do you know what I'm saying?
Like, what was the end point?
Because she would have found out. She would have... The digging that Deborah does, the fact that she even had that receipt, the fact that she's constantly trying to be on his phone, constantly patrolling his social media, she would have found out. So what was the plan, really?
What was the plan? Like, lay it out, because your strategy was already slacking from the start. But yeah, I had an issue when they were, I allowed you to do that. I allowed you, because he was like, I allowed you to go. Like, I gave you permission to go, which again, very, very possessive and horrible. But she was like, no, you didn't allow me to go. But then when she mentioned the fact that he trains his ex, she was like, I allow you to train your ex, because if I said not to, then you wouldn't. And it's like, so again, I can do things, you can't do certain things. Like, I allowed you to train your ex. If I said no, would you do it?
Yeah.
Like, chatting to him like he's a small boy, and then him saying, nah, I allowed you to go. No, you didn't. Because if I wanted to, it's just like pick one, at least be consistent. But it's all one rule for you, one rule for me.
For real. But no, but real talk, why was he training his ex? Are there not other people that he could be training? There are just red flags everywhere.
The thing is, I couldn't even tell if she had an issue with it, because she brought it up as if it was an issue. And it's like, oh, okay, train his ex. Yeah, I could see where the issue would be. I get it. But she was like, I've met her and she's actually kind of cool, so I don't mind. Like, so why did you bring up? If it's not a problem for you, why did you bring up as if it was a problem? Or you just wanted to mention and then be like, but I've allowed him and I'm giving him that. But you train too many females. And it's just, do you want him to work or do you not want him to work? Do you want the Prada bags or do you not want the Prada bags? Because you want the bags. Where's it supposed to come from without money? Unless you just want to marry someone who's just trapping on this on road.
Exactly. Like, pick one. Just pick one and stick to it. And the thing is, he explained to Denise that clients come to him. Like, he'll do these marketing programs and clients will literally find his page and they'll message him and say they want to be trained. So it's not him going out of his way to find these women. They are coming to him. And he needs to make money. So what's he going to do? Say no?
How else is he supposed to buy you gifts? You want all the gifts, but you don't want him to work. And I completely get it. And again, it's not one of those things you can pick and choose, because if you think about it, like, how many men train other men? Like, if you think about the summer's coming, you have certain women who just, like, want to get into shape. And if it's there, it's there. It's not as if he's fully going out and saying, I only train women. But she's like, no, the females are too much. The females, he's got too many females on it. So, but is that not work?
Exactly. The math just isn't mathing. It's just not.
Something just isn't adding up, right?
Can we talk about the family issue? How they've been together for a year and Deborah hasn't met Jamel's family. And his justification was that he's from a Ghanaian family and that Deborah's too loud, so he doesn't want to bring her around because he doesn't think she can handle herself properly. Why are you with her then? Like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing? She's wifey material. You don't think that your family should that meet part, her. Like, what are you doing then?
That part, like, he kept saying, we have a future together. Like, I see myself married, wifey material, but you also think she's also not fit for your family. And it was the justification. And he was like, well, I'm Ghanaian and my family are just like pretty quiet. And she's Nigerian and she's just loud. And she was like, you haven't even seen me in that aspect. Like, you haven't even seen me with family. So you don't know how I'm going to be. And he's just like, yeah, but. And if these are your thoughts about your girlfriend meeting your family, it doesn't sound good, because A, if that's just her personality, that's her personality, and is that not why you're with her? Because you like her personality. But then if you're also like, I see this being an issue with my family, but you also see yourself marrying this woman, making her your wife, it's the maths isn't mathing.
It's not. And the thing is, like, I get it, because Deborah's energy is off. So I get him not wanting her to meet his family. Yeah. I get that. But I'm also like, if you've gone into a relationship with her, if you know what she's like, why would you be with her if you're not okay with that? Like, you've chosen to be with her knowing what she's like. So you have to kind of just accept it.
Yeah, it's not 1 year into the relationship that you can come and be like, yeah, I like and I love you, but this part of your personality is a bit iffy. So why are you with her then?
Exactly.
I got it from both, because just her aura, and when she was like, I need this, I need that, you need to do this, you need to do that, the whole possession, like, I see that being a red flag for like his parents. Like, I do actually get it. But at the same time, like, the way he said it, like, oh, she's just too loud, I'm just that bit can't run, because if you see a future with this person, then at some point, like, they're gonna have to meet your family. So either you're just accepting and you want your parents to just be like, yeah, this is the girl I'm with, like, you have to accept her, or he doesn't see her as a real candidate, which is why he's not trying to let her meet his family.
Yeah, exactly. But either way, I don't see a future for either of them. I don't think there's any light at the end of the tunnel. They are both trash human beings. I can't. Did you watch episode 5, the latest episode?
No, I haven't. I haven't.
Okay. Because at the very end of that episode, so basically Deborah storms off because Jamal wouldn't show her his phone, and she kicks off and leaves. And then Jamal gets really quiet, and Denise is like, what's wrong? And Jamal basically goes, I'm really scared about what I have to tell her. And Denise is like, what do you have to tell Deborah? And he's like, he's really quiet and shirty. And then he basically says, I've been seeing my ex basically more than I've been letting on. And Denise is like, well, nothing untoward has happened, right? And he didn't answer. So it basically left implying that he's been cheating on Deborah with his ex. So throw the whole relationship away.
Jesus. Wow.
Whole relationship in the bin.
Now it makes sense why he's always late to meet Deborah, because he's with his ex. And he's been playing it off like, I'm training clients. It was the fact she was like, I know your schedule. And he was like, well, you know, because I train clients around the world in different continents, the time is all different. She's like, I know your schedule, so I know when you're free, but somehow you're still late and all this. You have more time to see your ex than your actual girlfriend, and this is the woman you're saying is wifey material and you want to buy a house with and build a future with. Men are trash.
Throw the whole gender away. I can't. This is the thing as well. I think Deborah's instincts are correct. It's just her execution is wrong. She just goes about things in the wrong way. But I think, genuinely, I think her instincts are bang on about him.
Yeah, I think her instincts about their relationship and, like, his behaviour is bang on. But also her expectations and how she sees the relationship and her materialistic self is very much clashing. She just needs to be with like a 50-year-old rich man who has a millionaire even, because of her expectations. She just needs to be with like a 50-year-old millionaire, wine and dine her, all of that business. Like, she just needs a sugar daddy. Him clearly needs to be with his ex, or is with his ex. You're shady. She said you were shady, and she brought all the receipts, and now we know.
Exactly. I just think it's very apparent with both of these couples that they need to break up immediately, like this second, and have no more contact, because they're not helping each other.
It doesn't look good. You went and booked Afro-Nation tickets behind her back and then tried to play it off as, I was going to surprise you. No, you weren't. Shut up. And then you've also been spending more time with your ex and females, and she's mentioned it, and you're shady on your phone. It all makes sense.
And you also thought he was like,
she's controlling, she's a bit too control. I see it now. Do you know when they try and gaslight you? I see it. Yeah, she's a bit excessive, but there was a reason why she was controlling, wants to see your phone, and it's because you're with your ex. The same one she was saying, she said, I allowed you to train, so you allowed him to go and cheat. Wow.
These hoes ain't loyal. That's the thing though, men, they always try and spin it and be like, nah, she's crazy, she's controlling, but why is she crazy? Why is she controlling? Like, what have you done for her to be like that? And it just
like
doesn't
play it off like you're doing too much, but why am I doing too much? It's because you are doing something shady, and now you've proven it. Disgusting behavior.
yeah, he needs to literally get in the bin, put on the lid and call it a day. Bad vibes. Also, what did you think of Denise the therapist? Because I feel like she was too passive. Like, I don't even know why she would humor Paul when he was insulting her.
Honestly, like, you have to hold your ground. I feel like I would have been a better therapist there, you know. I feel like I would have asked better questions and gotten more, because, like, what was she really saying? What was she doing? She was allowing Paul to attack not only her, but to attack Chioma.
Yeah.
The questions you were asking, you weren't getting the response. Like, yeah, she was a bit too ghosty, yeah, and just there for vibes.
It was when Paul was like yelling and she was like, if you could just lower your voice a little bit, Paul, and he didn't, and she just continued yelling. I'm like, this is your time to shine, Denise. You have to command the room. He is yelling, do something. She's, yeah, like, Paul, could we just lower the tone slightly? I'm like, what do you think that is gonna do, Denise?
Honestly, what? And it was when she was asking questions and he was like, nah, let me ask you this, Denise. So what is your success rate? Don't entertain this guy. He didn't want to answer any question, but he said, so what's your success rate? And she was like, well, couples who tend to come here and, you know, they go through it and they do tend to be really successful. Like, they come back, and he was like, so what's that in a ratio? Because me, yeah, I work in numbers and percentages. What are your numbers and your percentages? She even carried on talking. I was like, nah, my G, like, do not even entertain this guy, because now, yeah, he's come on in the room.
Yeah. It's about that she even answered the question in the first place. And then he said something like, well, if people keep coming back, if couples keep returning, doesn't that mean they still have issues? Doesn't that mean you're not doing your job? I was like, he has played you, Denise.
Uno reverse card, Denise. This is why you don't even entertain it, because if they're still coming back, then clearly your methods aren't working. What can you say?
Because they still have problems. But do you know what? He has a point.
At that point, he made a point. And Denise, like, you allowed him to do it. You allowed him. Yeah. Now you look like a fraudster. Now you look like a Pollock. Like, Denise, come on, yeah, now.
She didn't even have a comeback. Come on, Denise. You're better than that.
Yeah. Is she a real therapist? Because, again, we've noticed the fact that there are a lot of holes. And obviously, like, the people who produced Blue Therapy also produced BK Chat. And I was like, they kept dropping BK Chat, Back Chat, Back Chat. And I was like, okay, we get it. Like, it's your other show. It's okay. We knew.
We understand. Okay, enough plugs. We get it.
Bare plugs.
Everywhere. I was thinking that. I was like, I don't know if she is a real therapist, because she's not really giving them any feedback. She's not commanding the room. She's not asking them useful questions. Like, what is she actually doing?
I kept looking down. I was like, is she actually making any notes? Because her booklet looked blank for majority of the episodes. So I was really questioning. I was like, is she actually making any notes? Because this I'm not understanding. Plus, her exercise backfired. The trust exercise? When she said to Jamel and Deborah, like, tell us something that you haven't told. And I fancy your sister. I have an OnlyFans account. I'm like, Denise, you need better exercises.
Yeah, Denise needs to do better. She needs to learn from her mistakes, because she didn't even, like, say anything. She wasn't even like, that's not what I had in mind. She just let them say what they were saying, and she just sat there and listened. Like, come on, Denise. You are better than that.
Things got way too wayward, and she should have controlled the room. She did not.
Exactly. There was one thing that she did that I thought was quite cute. It was with Paul and Chioma, where she got them to, like, look at each other for a minute and not say anything, and then they both started, like, smiling. I was like, that was kind of cute, but it was cut short, and she's just not giving what she's supposed to give to these couples. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm like, maybe did she watch a YouTube video on, like, how to be a therapist and get that? Because the whole everything else was wayward. But that bit, as you said, it was nice. And they just looked at each other and they were smiling. It's like, oh, and then you remember all the good things. And then it went back to being wayward. And I was like, well. It's like,
literally just a moment of calm before the storm. Yeah, she needs to improve her skills and fast, because these couples need help.
What a show.
It's so good. Yeah, if you haven't seen it, please watch it. It's very entertaining.
Yeah, it's giving me reality show vibes. Whether it's scripted, it's wayward, and I pray that there are not real couples like this, because this is very scary.
Yes, very scary indeed, but I'm here for the drama in the meantime. And if you want to share your thoughts on the episode, use the hashtag BlackBrokenBrilliant on Twitter or message us on our Insta page. You know what to do.
Like, follow, give us a rating if you're listening on Apple Podcasts. Share it with your mums, your grands, your boss, and your friends.
And we'll be back next Thursday. I've been Ivy.
I've been Samiracle. Thanks for listening.